This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3338 for Wednesday, the 19th of May 2021. Today's show is entitled, Using OpenSSL_Client, like Telnet and is part of the series Networking. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 20 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, OpenSSL_Client is the new Telnet. Here is how to use it.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Hacker Public Radio. My name is Klaatu. Do you remember Telnet? Telnet was such a useful tool back in its day. It really was. And actually long after. Because if you think about when Telnet was developed initially, I guess, it was just sort of a general purpose tool. You would remote into a computer via Telnet and log in and run commands, I guess. Open a shell. I don't know. I've never used it like that. I think I did use it like that once, but it was a controlled shell. And so it didn't really feel like a shell. But once it became clear that open, unfettered Telnet access to computers was not a good idea, and SSH took over, Telnet still kind of persisted, I think, a lot longer than maybe one might expect. People used Telnet to check out ports of computers, of computer targets. So for instance, if you do like a Telnet example .com/80, then you can reach the port 80 of the domain example.com. We don't know what's there right now, but you can issue commands. Like you could type in /http://1.1, and then I could do /host:/example.com. So we're talking to port 80. We're asking. We're sending a GET signal to a host on that server, and the host is example.com. We can see what we get. I'll hit return, and it seems to sort of freeze up, so I'll hit return again, and suddenly I get the HTML page of example.com/index.html in my terminal. So, yeah, this is still a useful tool. You can still check, you know, if you're not sure, oh, why isn't this host talking to me or whatever, then you can maybe talk to it through other means, like with Telnet. The problem with Telnet, though, is that it is a little bit simple. I mean, there's probably more that you can do with Telnet. I've only used it really seriously. I've only used it for, yeah, looking at port 80 of a web server that may or may not be responding the way that I expect, and an email server, which, again, same scenario. Is it set up correctly? Does it respond to commands? And if so, do those commands make it do the thing that I expect it to do? So Telnet is useful. It has been useful for a long time. But in today's world, of course, things are a lot more complex than just looking at port 80. So if I go to Telnet, if I do telnet:example.com/443, which ought to be the SSL port, and then do all those commands. So /http/1.1, just closes that. It doesn't even want to hear about that. That's not something that an encrypted web server port or a secure socket, I guess, wants to hear about. It just disconnects after that kind of command. So Telnet isn't as useful in the encrypted world as I guess it used to be, where things were just kind of listening, and the only, well, there was no encryption. It wasn't that there isn't an encryption layer there. It is simply waiting for a known set of commands, which is fair. That's fine. But we might need, especially if you're in the industry, you might need something a little bit more advanced than something that doesn't know how to deal with encryption. And it turns out, I've discovered, that OpenSSL, the OpenSSL suite, includes a command in it, or a subcommand, I guess, called S_Client. And S underscore client is a generic SSL or TLS client that can establish a transparent connection to a remote server that is also running SSL or TLS. It's intended for testing purposes only and provides only rudimentary interface functionality. And there are other things within OpenSSL, like there's S underscore server and a bunch of other stuff that I'm not even going to bother mentioning because I can't think of their use cases for myself. So S client, though, S underscore client, has been really, really useful for me when testing out various components on a network. And I wanted to kind of talk about it because I don't think it's widely known. I mean, I'm sure it's widely known amongst, you know, some people, I guess the people who use it. But to this day, like, when you're looking around on the internet for like, oh, how do I troubleshoot this or that, the times Telnet comes up in 2021 is a little bit shocking, and I'm just kind of curious. I'm not convinced that the internet knows that it's running on SSL now and that you can't just pop into a port and get information that you might want. So OpenSSL S underscore client is your ticket to testing your encrypted ports. And I guess I'll back up a little bit and just kind of do a quick overview of what that means and why we would want to do it. And so I think if you've been playing around on networks for any length of time, then a lot of this will seem pretty familiar and basic. But if you haven't been, then here's some information for you. So for instance, if you just want to see if you can connect to a computer host, like you just want to see that computer host, if it's apparently online at all, if it's a member of that network, then you might, you know, the super rudimentary easy thing to do would just to ping it, P-I-N-G. And that's just, you know, I might do like a ping dash C for count one, and then I could do, for instance, example.com. And I get a response back from it, 0% packet loss. So that means example.com, I guess, must be in a pretty healthy state. It responded to me, it's online, everything appears to be normal with example.com. That's cool. But that's a very, I mean, like, that's the most basic information I think that you could possibly get from a host on your network. It's just, yes, it's alive, and yes, it's responding. But it doesn't really tell you a whole lot about any of the services that may be running on that computer. Now, you may not know what services are running on that computer either, and for that, there are tools like Nmap that can scan that computer and basically go knocking on every single port and see if it gets a response, and then it'll report back to you that, hey, this set of ports, these numbers, are running services. And that kind of used to confuse me a long time ago because, I mean, the word port, you think of kind of maybe ships and boats pulling into port, maybe, or maybe you think of an audio, like an audio jack, you put it into a audio port, something like that. And I understood that these ports weren't physical things on a computer, that they're software devices that we can imagine exist. But I think I always thought that they all did exist, like there was a set number of them, and they all existed. It was just whether software was running behind that port or not. And that's not quite true either. I mean, your computer creates a port when a service demands the port. It doesn't, there's, you don't start up Linux or Unix and suddenly you have an array of ports that you can start services behind as needed. You boot Linux and then you start a service and then that port is registered with the system. And if it's registered, then a thing can see if it gets a response from that port. So it's a kind of a blind test going to a server to try to figure out whether it has a certain port. And then what that port is doing is completely up to that computer as well. All of that's important to know because just because your scan of a computer sends back information about port 80 being available, it doesn't really mean that port 80 is doing what you think it would be doing. It may just mean that port 80 has been stood up by some service, but you don't know that that service is behaving properly as it would be expected to, or even that that service is the service that you think it is. Now, if you're setting up, say, a web server for your company or for a department within your company, and they open their web browser, and try to get to that website that you've set up, and they can't reach it, then you can probably, since you're the person who set it up, you can probably feel relatively confident that port 80 that you may detect is indeed running the web server that you've started. But is that web server doing the things that you expect it to do? That's a question that, yes, you can hit it as much as you want with a web browser, but you can only discover so much from whatever message your browser gives you when it can't find a web page. And that's where traditionally Telnet has come into play. Now, again, the problem with Telnet these days is that quite possibly your web site, your web server is serving pages on port 443. You're forwarding port 80 or any request coming into port 80 to port 443. Maybe you're not, but let's say you are. And so, in other words, when someone requests web information, makes HTTP requests to port 80 forwarded onto 443, you're getting encrypted data, and you're getting asked about the client, or the certificate of that page. And that is squarely OpenSSL's domain. So if we do OpenSSL s_client, like I said, that's kind of the sub command. And then we just need to tell it what to connect to. In this case, we want to connect --connect example.com space 80. And, oh, that didn't work. Not space 80, colon 80. Space 80 is telnet. Okay, so colon 80, and it looks like it has connected. It tells me it's connected, and it tells me that there's no peer certificate available, no client certificate, CA name sent, SSL handshake, has read 7 bytes and written 305 bytes, and there's no cipher, there's no secure renegotiation support, compression none, and a bunch of stuff that says no. And that's fine. I mean, like, if I do that to example.com colon, I don't know, let's do 99, then it sort of has timed out, or not timed out, but it's doing something, it's thinking about it, but it's going to eventually time out and tell me a different message than what I got here. So that is telling me that, you know, it's quite likely that there's a service running behind 80, and if I'm feeling sure that it is a web server, then I can feel pretty certain that that's what that would be. So I mean that could be useful, but not necessarily. What I really want to do probably is go straight to, I'm going to cancel that out. I'm tired of waiting for it to cancel out. So what I really want to do is OpenSSL s_client-connect, --connect, example.com, colon 443, and then I'm going to add one more argument here, which is show certs. So it's dash show certs, as in show certificates. And that gives me a screenful, a couple of screenfuls, really. If you're used to looking at keys, then this looks like one of them, really. So it tells me that it has connected. The depth is 2. The domain, the certification is, for example.org. The certificate chain, it's a good 3 or 4 screenfuls of text giving me all the certificate information I could ever want from that server. Because I've been talking so much, it has also timed out. So I'm gonna do that again. I'll endure the 3 or 4 screenfuls of text that it shows me, and now it reaches the end of that, and then it just kind of pauses. And this is the prompt, which isn't a great prompt, but that is actually a prompt. So I can now type in things like get --/ http://1.1, hit return, and then my host. Of course, I want to look at example.com again, and then hit return. And now I see the example.com/index.html as it is served over SSL. Now, again, if I didn't care about the SSL component, and if this weren't example.com, which is serving pages that are accessible over port 80, then I wouldn't, you know, this is useful for SSL, and that's significant. If you want to troubleshoot the non-SSL HTTP stuff, then you can do that with Telnet. Like I say, there's still use cases for Telnet. But if your site is only serving stuff through SSL or over SSL, then OpenSSL, the command s_client subcommand, is really what you want to use, or else you will not get the information that you're looking for. You'll get information, it just won't be all of the information that you would expect. Same goes for email. If you're testing your email server, then all your Telnet knowledge is still applicable. It's just you're going to have to kind of transition it over a little bit to OpenSSL S_client. And that involves, first and foremost, getting the base64 version of your username and password. I don't exactly know why. I've never actually looked into it. But there's a super easy one-liner to do this, and it's perl-mmime:\base64, capital B there, -e, and then print encode _base64, parentheses, quote, and then, you know, whatever your username is, so, you know, bogus, close quote, close parentheses, semicolon, close quote, close single quote. And that gives you a string of text that looks like gibberish, but it's actually really useful. You'll want to copy that. And you want to do the same thing for your password. So you've got your username and your password both encoded as strings of base64. And then you can use OpenSSL S-Client to connect to your mail server. So that would be OpenSSL S_client-start-TLS. Start TLS, and then SMTP is the protocol we're going to use here. And then we'll do, again, -connect to, let's just pretend like it's mail.example.com. I'm going to assume that that doesn't exist. And then :587, because that's, or whatever port you're serving your email over. But 587 is a pretty common one. And then you hit return, and presumably it would connect to that port. And then you do that weird telnet login thing where you do hello, except it's ehlo, example.com, auth login, and then you paste in your username as base64, and then you paste in your password as base64, and then you're in, you're connected, you've authenticated, you are now talking directly to your email server, and you can do a normal telnet style test, which would be, and you could find these kind of tests all over the place online. Like I say, you can almost not avoid them. They're just still out there in such number. But a simple test like this would be mail:from:noreply@example.com, next line rcpt(2), like receipt 2, rcpt(2), and then say admin@example.com or whatever you can get an email from or get email delivered to. Next line data, next line subject:test123, and then you can write some text like this is my test email to myself. As long as you end your text with a dot on an otherwise empty line, it knows that you're finished sending your email, and then you can quit. You can get out of that mode because now you've sent a test email directly from just talking to that email service. You go check your email on your admin@example.com or whatever I said, and you'll hopefully ideally see an email from noreply@example.com. And you've done it. And if you've done that with any email server ever with Telnet, then you know exactly that incantation. It's very, very common. The only difference is that you needed something to get past that authentication block, which, of course, is provided to you via OpenSSL S_client. Without that, you're not going to be able to get through that authentication process with Telnet, at least not as far as I know. So anyway, I just wanted to talk a little bit about, OpenSSL S-Client, because I have found it very, very useful in the modern encrypted world. I hope that's useful to you. And if you have tips about this sort of thing, feel free to record your own episode of Hacker Public Radio. It's worth it, and it helps lots of people. Thank you very much for listening. I'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.